بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the one who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his companions and all those who follow his guidance until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In this lesson, we're going to go through the first chapter after the introduction, which the author, Sheikh Abdul Muhsin al-Abbad hafidhullah, mentions in his blessed treatise, Rifqan Ahl Sunnati bi Ahl Sunnah. Gentleness, O people of the Sunnah, with the people of the Sunnah. And this chapter he entitled Ni'matun Nutqi wal Bayan. Ni'matun Nutq wal Bayan. The blessing of being able to articulate or speak, and the blessing of clarification, by the blessing of speech and articulation. And the author, Hafidhullah, he mentioned this chapter first in order to remind us all that an-nutq wal-bayan, that speaking, the ability to speak, the ability to articulate, which sometimes leads us to oppressing other people or backbiting other people, but this ability in of itself, it is a ni'mah. It is a blessing from Allah. And that's why he said, ni'matun nutqi wal bayan, the blessing of an-nutq wal bayan. And that therefore, this blessing which Allah has blessed us with should be used in only that which is goodness. And of course, the obligation with regards to every type of ni'mah is that we show shukr to Allah, that we show thanks and gratitude and gratefulness to Allah. And when a person is blessed with any ni'mah, with any blessing, regardless of the type of blessing, then the shukr is shown by using it in the obedience of Allah. So whatever that blessing is, shukr means that we use that blessing in order to worship Allah, in order to aid the religion, serve the ummah, and so on and so forth. So as an example, a person being blessed with the ability to write, he's able to write in a good, structured, organized manner, then the shukr of this blessing of writing is to spread knowledge. And if somebody has been given the blessing of wealth, he has money, then the shukr of this wealth is to give in charity. If somebody has been blessed with strength, which is a ni'mah from Allah, then the shukr of this strength is to help other people. And also when it comes to the ni'mah of an-nutqi wal-bayan. And the asal, the base ruling in this is the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawm al-akhir falyaqul khayran aw liyasmut." That whoever amongst you believes in Allah and the final day, then let him speak with goodness or he should remain silent. So all of the blessings which Allah has blessed us with, which Allah bestows upon us, we have to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding these ni'm. And also a person should know that a ni'mah, a blessing, is also a test. It can also be a fitna. When we hear that word fitna, straight away our minds think about the difficult things or the calamities or the trials or the tribulations. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that yes, something bad or difficult which afflicts you is a fitna, and also a ni'mah, also a blessing, something good which you have been given can also be a ni'mah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَنَبْلُوَكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً وَنَبْلُوَكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً That we will test you with something difficult, and it is a fitna, it is a test, and we will test you with khair. We will also test you with some goodness, and this can also be a fitna. This ayah in Surah Al-Anbiya, وَنَبْلُوَكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً Allah began it by saying, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ That every soul shall taste death. And then he said, وَنَبْلُوَكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً وَإِلَيْنَا تُرْجَعُونَ And we will test you with difficulty and harm, and we will test you with something of goodness, a good blessing. Both of them are fitna, and to us you will return. Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, in his tafsir of this ayah in Surah Al-Anbiya, he said regarding وَنَبْلُوَكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً that we will test you with evil or harm and also goodness as a fitna. Ibn Kathir said, نَخْتَبِرُكُمْ بِالْمَصَائِبِ تَارَةً وَبِالنِّعَمِ أُخْرَى that sometimes we will test you with calamities and sometimes we will test you with blessings. لِنَنْظُرَ مَنْ يَشْكُرْ وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ so we can know and look who appreciates and who disbelieves. وَمَنْ يَصْبِرْ وَمَنْ يَقْنُطْ And who remains patient and who loses hope. And then he mentioned the narration of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma regarding this ayah, that Ibn Abbas said, نَبْتَلِيَكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً That it is as if Allah is saying, we will give you ibtila, that difficulty can also be a calamity, and a good blessing can also be a calamity. Why? Because it is a test. بِشِدَّةِ وَالرَّخَاءِ So Allah tests us with times of difficulty and times of ease. وَالصِّحَّةِ وَالسَّقَمِ And Allah tests us with good health and He tests us with illness. وَالْغِنَى وَالْفَقَرِ And Allah tests us with wealth and He tests us with poverty. وَالْحَلَالِ وَالْحَرَامِ And Allah tests us with halal and He tests us with al-haram. وَالطَّاعَ وَالْمَعْصِيَةِ And Allah will even test us with our acts of obedience and He tests us through our acts of disobedience. وَالْهُدَى وَالضَّلَالِ And Allah tests us with guidance and He tests us with misguidance. وَإِلَيْنَا تُرْجَعُونَ And then Allah says, to us you will return. Ibn Kathir said, فَنُجَازِيكُمْ بِأَعْمَالِكُمْ So we may recompense you because of your actions. And this is an important point, that even you being a person whom Allah has blessed with being practicing, so you are showing ta'a to Allah, you are showing obedience to Allah, and Allah has blessed you with guidance and kept you away from misguidance, this in of itself can be a test for you. That does this now lead you to arrogance over other people, or does it lead you to remain humble? So everything that Ibn Abbas mentioned, whether it is good times or bad times, good health or illness, money or wealth, obedience or disobedience, all of this can be a test for a person. And for this reason, a person should always remember and never become arrogant over other people. Because just the fact that you are now in the obedience to Allah and Allah has guided you to the sunnah isn't an excuse for anybody to then become arrogant and therefore become haughty over other people. So even this ta'a and even Allah guiding you towards a salafiyya and guiding you towards a tawheed, this in of itself can be a fitna. This in of itself can be a test and a tribulation for a person. And the author, Hafidhullah, may Allah preserve him, he begins by saying, نِعْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَىٰ عِبَادِهِ لَا تُعَدُّ وَلَا تُحْصَىٰ That the blessings of Allah upon His people cannot be limited and neither can they be enumerated. Meaning there are many, many blessings from Allah. Some blessings are physical upon our bodies. Some blessings are emotional upon our minds. Other blessings return to the akhirah. Other blessings return to the wealth. وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. And every ni'mah, every blessing which you have, it is from Allah. He says, وَمِنْ أَعْظَمِ هَذِهِ نِعْمَةُ النُّطْقِ. That from the greatest of these blessings which Allah has bestowed upon us is ni'matu nutq, the ability or the blessing for a person to be able to speak and articulate what he means. Allati yubayyinu biha al-insanu an muradihi. This speech which we use in order to clarify what we intend. Wa yaqulu qawla al-sadid. And this ability of speaking by which we can say a truthful word. وَيَأْمُرُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And this ability to speak by which we are able to order with goodness and forbid against evil. وَمَنْ فَقَدَهَا لَمْ تَحْصِلْ لَهُ هَذِهِ الْأُمُورِ. And whoever loses this ability to speak and articulate is not able to do any of these matters. وَلَا يُمْكِنُهُ التَّفَاهُمْ مَعَ غَيْرِهِ. And a person isn't able to then speak and come to an agreement or understanding with others, illa bil ishara aw al kitaba, except by using sign language or writing something. In kana katiban, and thus if Allah has blessed him with the ability to write. And then he mentions a number of ayat and a narration which allude to the great blessing of being able to speak and articulate. He mentions the ayah in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلَ الرَّجُلَيْنِ أَحَدُهُمَا أَبْكَمْ لَا يَقْدِرُ عَلَى شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ كَلٌّ عَلَى مَوْلَاهُ أَيْنَمَا يُوَجِّهُهُ لَا يَأْتِ بِخَيْرٍ. In this ayah, Allah says that Allah gives an example of two men. One of them is أَبْكَمْ, meaning he cannot speak, neither can he hear. لَا يَقْدِرُ عَلَى شَيْءٍ. And therefore he has no ability over anything. وَهُوَ كَلٌّ عَلَى مَوْلَاهُ. Rather he is a burden upon his master. أَيْنَمَا يُوَجِّهُهُ لَا يَأْتِ بِخَيْرٍ. Whichever way the person sends him, then he doesn't bring with any goodness. Allah says, هَلْ يَسْتَوِي هُوَ وَمَنْ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدَلِ. This person who cannot speak, he cannot hear, he doesn't have these blessings, is he equal to the one who speaks and articulates with justice? وَهُوَ عَلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. And this person is upon the straight path. So in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he alludes towards this blessing of speech. And that a person should consider and remember, if you had not been given this blessing of being able to speak and articulate, then you'd be like a person who is not able to say anything, neither able to understand anything. Any way he goes, he's not a benefit to anybody else. Rather, he's only a burden to the people. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he bestowed us with this blessing. And the author mentions that with regards to these two examples, one person who is dumb, he cannot speak, cannot hear, cannot understand, and the other one is calling to justice and is upon the straight path, that some of the Mufassirun, they said that Allah was intending to clarify the example of himself to the idol. That the idol, the one who cannot speak, cannot hear, is dumb, cannot understand, cannot do anything, are people making them equal to the one, الَّذِي يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدَلِ, the one who orders with justice, the one who guides people to the straight path. And other Mufassirun said that rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was giving an example of a kafir and a Muslim. That the kafir, due to his kufr, due to his disbelief and his misguidance, he's like a person who can neither hear nor understand nor speak. And as for the Muslim, due to the guidance of Islam, he is the one who orders with justice and he's upon the straight path. And then he mentions another ayah in which Allah said, فَوَرَبِّ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. By the Lord of the skies and the earth. إِنَّهُ لَحَقٌّ. It is the truth. I, يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ is the truth. Allah takes an oath by himself. He says, فَوَرَبِّ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ I take an oath by the Lord of the Sama wal-Ard, إِنَّهُ لَحَقْ that it, يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ and the resurrection and the accountability in the hereafter, it is the truth. مِثْلَ مَا أَنَّكُمْ تَنْطِقُونَ Just as you are able to speak. Meaning, just as you are able to speak, and nobody amongst us can deny the ability to speak, and we know it is truth, this is reality. The fact that we speak is reality, then also Yawm al-Qiyamah is reality. And some of the Sahaba, they used to use this as an example. Whenever they wanted to prove the reality of something, they would say, just as you are present here. Meaning just as it is a reality that you are present here, then this thing is also a reality. So again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He alludes to the blessing of speaking and being able to articulate your speech. And the author, he explains this, فَقَدْ أَقْسَمَ اللَّهُ بِنَفْسِهِ عَلَى تَحَقُّقِ الْبَعْثِ وَالْجَزَاءِ عَلَى الْأَعْمَالِ That Allah takes an oath by Himself regarding the truthfulness and the reality of the resurrection and the reward and the punishment for the actions. كَمَا أَنَّ النُّطْقَ حَاصِلٌ وَاقِعٌ مِنَ الْمُخَاطَبِينَ Just as all of us know the reality of being able to speak. وَفِي ذَلِكَ تَنْوِيهٌ بِالنِّعْمَةِ النُّطْقِ And this is Allah alluding to or indicating towards the blessing of speech. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave a most beautiful example and an elevated example. He reminded us of the reality of Yawm al-Qiyamah by using the reality of being able to speak and articulate. And therefore this is an indication towards the blessing of being able to speak. And then the author, Hafidhullah, he mentions another ayah, خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانِ in which Allah mentions how He created mankind, عَلَّمَهُ الْبَيَانِ And then He taught him الْبَيَانِ He taught him, Allah taught us how to clarify ourselves, how to articulate our speech. وَفَسَّرَ الْحُسْنَ الْبَيَانِ بِالنُّطْقِ And again, وَفِي ذَلِكَ تَنْوِيهٌ بِالنِّعْمَةِ النُّطْقِ And again, this is an indicator in which Allah is alluding towards the blessing of being able to speak and clarify our speech. And then He mentions the ayah, أَلَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُ عَيْنَيْنِ Where Allah is again mentioning His blessings upon mankind. So Allah says, it's as if Allah is saying, why do you not worship Allah alone? Why do you commit shirk with Allah? Why do you not practice the religion of Allah? أَلَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُ عَيْنَيْنِ Did we not make for a human being two eyes? وَلِسَانًا وَشَفَتَيْنِ And did we not make for him a tongue and two lips? So here Allah is mentioning His blessings upon the people. Ibn Kathir said in his tafsir, أَلَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُ عَيْنَيْنِ Did we not make for him two eyes? أَيْ يُبْصِرُ بِهِمَا Eye by which he can see. وَلِسَانًا أَيْ يَنْطِقُ بِهِ فَيُعَبِّرُ عَمَّا فِي ضَمِيرِهِ That did Allah not make for us a tongue by which we can speak and we can bring out our emotions and we can bring out and articulate our feelings. وَشَفَتَيْنِ And did Allah not make for us two lips? يَسْتَعِينُ بِهِمَا عَلَى الْكَلَامِ وَأَكْلَ الطَّعَامِ وَجِمَالًا لِوَجِهِهِ وَفَمِهِ Two lips by which we are able to speak and we are able to eat, and in it is the beauty of our face and also the beauty of the mouth. So the point behind the author mentioning these ayat and these narrations is to allude to the fact that before anything else, you should know that being able to speak and being able to articulate, this is a blessing and a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he mentioned the objective behind this chapter. He said, this is now the objective. وَمِنَ الْمَعْلُومِ أَنَّ هَذِهِ النِّعْمَةِ إِنَّمَا تَكُونُ نِعْمَةً حَقًّا إِذَا اسْتُعْمِلَ النُّطْقُ بِمَا هُوَ خَيْرٌ That this blessing, the blessing of being able to speak, the blessing of the tongue, it can only be called a ni'mah, it is only ever called a blessing, إِذَا اسْتُعْمِلَ النُّطْقُ بِمَا هُوَ خَيْرٌ, if we use this tongue and we use this speech in what is goodness. أَمَّا إِذَا اسْتُعْمِلَ بِالشَّرٍ, however, if we use this blessing of speaking and this blessing of tongue in evil, فَهُوَ وَبَالٌ عَلَىٰ صَاحِبِهِ, then it will be a cause of distress and misery for the person. وَيَكُونُ مَنْ فَقِدَ هَذِهِ النِّعْمَةِ أَحْسَنَ حَالًا مِنْ, and therefore, a person who uses his tongue to speak with evil, to oppress other people, then the one who doesn't have the ability to speak in the first place is better than him. So the author is saying that it's better for a person that this blessing is taken away from him rather than using this blessing to oppress other people and speak with that which is evil. And this was the objective behind this chapter. That firstly we realize النطق والبيان is a ni'mah, it is a blessing from Allah. So every time you speak, every time you're going to say something against another person, every time a swear is going to emanate from your mouth, you remember that these words and this ability and this tongue is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then after this we know that it will only be considered a blessing if we use it towards goodness. مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَصْمُتْ, whoever has iman in Allah and the final day, then let him speak with goodness or remain silent. After this, it's important to know that one of the greatest avenues of showing shukr, of showing gratitude to Allah with regards to our tongues and speaking, is in defending the religion of Allah and in exposing the doubts and the misguidance of the people of innovation and the innovators. And one of the greatest avenues of showing shukr with our speech and our tongues is warning the people against the innovators, warning people against Ahlul Bid'ah, warning the people against falling into the evil. And this is done in order to protect the Sharia from anything being attributed to it which is not from it. So when we speak about innovations, and when the ulama speak about the people of innovation, then this is also a shukr. This is also showing gratitude to Allah with regards to the tongue. And a person who does this, a person who assumes this responsibility, as long as his intention is correct, as long as his intention is correct, then he has a great reward with Allah and he has a great status in the religion. In fact, some of the Salaf, from some of their statements, they say that a person who refutes the innovation and warns the people against the people of innovation is like the Mujahid fi Sabilillah. He's equal to the Mujahid fi Sabilillah. Because this one is making jihad with his sword against the people of disbelief, and this one is making jihad with his tongue against the people of innovation. However, the important point is that this can only be done, and this reward and this status is only achieved if a person's intention is clean and clear. And Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimullah, he said, as is recorded in Majmu' al-Fatawa, he said, ثم القائل في ذلك بعلم لا بد من حسن النية, that whoever is going to speak about or speak with the truth, spread the truth, spread goodness, warn against evil, warn against innovations, warn against the people of innovation, لا بد له من حسن النية, he has to have a good, correct intention. فلو تكلم بحق, even if a person speaks with the truth, لِقَصْدِ الْعُلُوِّ فِي الْأَرْضِ, but he only intends ascendancy, authority upon the earth, أَوِلْ fasad, or he intends fasad upon the earth, كَانَ بِمَنْزِلَةِ الَّذِي يُقَاتِلُ حِمْيَةً وَرِيَاءً, then he is equal to the person who fights with what is apparent as being jihad, but it is only riya, showing off, and it is only himya, a type of nationalism, or just being passionate. Because like we said, both of them are like mujahidun fi sabilillah. So if a person didn't fight fi sabilillah in the way of Allah, then he fought riya'an in order to show off. And if a person explains the truth, but he only does it to gain authority over the people, or to belittle other people, to put people down, then he is equal to that. And then he said, وَإِن تَكَلَّمَ لِأَجْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. But if a person spoke with the truth for the sake of Allah, مُخْلِصًا لَهُ الدِّينَ, making his action sincere for him, كَانَ مِنَ الْمُجَاهِدِينَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, then he is considered as being from the mujahideena fi sabilillah, min warathatil anbiya, being from the inheritors of the prophets, wa khulafa'ir rusul, and being from the khulafa of the messengers. And therefore, the point behind this is, and the reminder is, that whoever wants to speak in the name of Islam, whoever wants to speak in defending the manhaj of the salaf, whoever wants to speak against the people of innovation, then they have to fear Allah with regards to their intention. And therefore, speaking about or taking the speech of people out of context, playing with the words of the people, delving into the intentions of the people, all of this is not from the praiseworthy defending the truth. So a person should also fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regards to his niyyah, with regards to his intention, and that he stays away from exaggerating the speech of the person he is refuting, or taking it out of context, or looking it into intentions. And as Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu used to say, إِنَّمَا عَلَيْنَا بِالظَّوَاهِرِ, that the only thing that we judge is that which is apparent. وَأَمَّا السَّرَائِرْ فَإِلَى اللَّهِ, and as for the hidden affairs, i.e. the affairs of the heart, then it is for Allah. So we never judge a person and say that this person wants to destroy the sunnah. How do you know that he wants to destroy the sunnah? Maybe it is a doubt, it is misguidance, but we don't judge his heart. We don't say somebody is a munafiq, because nifaq is a person concealing kufr and showing Islam, but you don't know what he is concealing. We cannot say regarding a person who, for example, does an act of innovation, that we say that he hates the Prophet, because we don't know he hates the Prophet. In fact, we can almost say with certainty that even though he is committing these innovations, which they are wrong and it is misguidance, but the intention in his heart is that he loves the Prophet. So the point is that even when we refute the doubts, we refute the people of innovation, then we never look into their hearts. Rather, we judge a person by what he has said and what he has done, and we clarify the ruling. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam.